Today, the Supreme Court made it much more difficult for public employees to bring retaliation claims against their bosses. By a 5-4 vote, the court ruled that public employees have no First Amendment right to make internal reports that their bosses don't like. NPR's Nina Totenberg has the story.
For 40 years, the Supreme Court has dealt with public employees' First Amendment claims by balancing the interests of the employees to speak on matters of public concern on the one hand, and on the other hand, preserving the interests of public agencies to a disruption-free and efficient workplace. Today, however, the court, by a 5-4 vote, carved out an exception for on-the-job speech that is not protected by the First Amendment at all. The exception is any speech undertaken as part of the employee's duties. The case involved a Los Angeles supervising prosecutor named Richard Ceballos, who, with the permission of his supervisors, investigated a claim by defense lawyers that a sheriff's deputy had lied in an affidavit used to obtain a search warrant. In a memorandum to his bosses, Ceballos recommended that the case be dismissed because after visiting the site, he'd concluded the search warrant application had been perjurious. Ceballos says that his bosses initially agreed, but that they caved after a meeting with angry sheriff's deputies.
I confronted him and basically accused my supervisor of kowtowing to the sheriff's department. He reacted quite visibly upset at that accusation.
Shortly thereafter, Ceballos was denied a promotion and transferred to a remote location. He sued, contending he'd been retaliated against for exercising his First Amendment right to free speech. Today, he lost in the U.S. Supreme Court. Writing for the 5-member court majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy said that when public employees make statements as part of their official duties, the employees are not speaking as citizens with First Amendment protections, and the Constitution does not insulate their communications from employer discipline. In short, writing the memo was part of Ceballos' job, said Justice Kennedy, and if his supervisors thought it was inflammatory or misguided, they had the authority to take proper corrective action. If Ceballos had spoken out publicly as a citizen and not as part of his official duties, said Justice Kennedy, he might well have had some First Amendment protections. But the fact that his duties required him sometimes to speak or write did not insulate him from job evaluations by his supervisors. The dissenters, Justices Souter, Stevens, Ginsburg, and Breyer, called the new rule a perverse incentive for public employees to protest publicly or leak covertly to the press whenever they have a disagreement, instead of speaking frankly to superiors through the chain of command. Today's ruling was a huge loss for the nation's 21 million public employees, according to most employment specialists, including Ceballos' lawyer, Bonnie Robin Vergeer, of the Public Citizen Litigation Group.
I think it strikes a real blow against the First Amendment rights of public employees everywhere. That's federal, state, and local government employees. If it's part of their job to come forward and speak on these matters, they have no protection if their employer doesn't like the message and retaliates against them.
The fifth and decisive vote in today's ruling was cast by the court's newest justice, Samuel Alito. The case was originally argued in October when Justice Sandra Day O'Connor was still on the court, and then re-argued in March after Alito was sworn in. The lead dissent in today's decision was written by Justice David Souter and had all the earmarks of what may once have been a majority opinion. Indeed, as Georgetown law professor Martin Lederman observes, Souter is the only justice who did not write an opinion from the October session.
Based on the court's usual practices, it's fair to say that Justice Souter was probably assigned the majority opinion in this case originally when Justice O'Connor was on the court, which therefore suggests that she was at least tentatively inclined to vote with the employee rather than the employer.
Thus making this case the first to mark the change caused by O'Connor's retirement. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.